الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخلين فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدعاء مخ العبادة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. When a person is going on some journey, so those who are close to him, near and dear to him, they're sending him off. So they will help to prepare him. They will help to take care of whatever he may require. They will try to do things that will make the journey comfortable for him. Likewise, the person is sending off somebody, then he will caution him, look, these are the places where there might be some danger. Be careful of how you pass these places or what you do on the road, etc. So for any small little journey in dunya also, insan, as limited as we are, as limited as what we can do, but it's human nature, we take care of these things, we are concerned about it, that somebody who's going off on a journey, he must go safely. What will benefit him on that journey, that must be acquired. What will harm him, he must get saved from that. So Allah Ta'ala put us into this journey of dunya. Allah Ta'ala, who is Arhamur Rahimeen, the most merciful, Allah Ta'ala, who is the most compassionate and kind, and Allah Ta'ala, who loves us more than we can even ever love ourselves, or more than we can ever love anybody. Allah Ta'ala loves His Banda and His Makhluk. So Allah Ta'ala didn't send us in this dunya without the provisions for this journey. This is a journey as well. We are on a journey of life. And we have a destination to try and reach. The destination is Akhirat, Jannat in Akhirat. So Allah Ta'ala didn't leave us without the provisions for this journey. On the one side, whatever is going to benefit us in the course of this journey, and which will be of greater benefit for us, especially to get to the destination, and in the destination, all such things Allah Ta'ala opened out for us. Everything that is going to benefit us to the level that it was necessary for the journey, like a person is going on some journey, food and drink he can't do without, that's something essential, completely fundamental, so that will be the priority that he will have on his list, he will prepare for, either he will carry the food along, or where he's going to be able to acquire it, that goes without saying. So likewise, there's certain essentials without which we won't be able to reach our destination. Those essentials Allah Ta'ala made farz for us. Because without that we're not going to get there. Or we're going to have a very hard time getting there. So Allah Ta'ala made salah compulsory for us. Allah Ta'ala made fasting compulsory, zakat compulsory. And then likewise things that will make our journey more easier, more comfortable in this dunya and bring that comfort and goodness in the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala granted us all such things via Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. The various amal that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, whether it is the sunnats, whether it is the mustahabbat, whether it is the various good actions that have been taught to us in the Hadith Sharif, all this will make our dunya also, the journey of dunya, more better for us, more comfortable for us. And likewise, all this will enhance the comfort of akhirat. All this will enhance the very essence of what we are here for in dunya, to acquire akhirat. And just as a person is very careful not to do things on that journey, or not to go in such a way that can be very detrimental to him, he's checking that vehicle is all in order, he's not going in a vehicle that doesn't even have the brakes in order, that's going to create a major disaster, he'll crash somewhere. He's not going in a vehicle with the tires all worn out. That's going to become a major disaster for him. So likewise, when a person is in this journey of life, there are various dangers that lurk all the time, trying to harm him, trying to destroy him, trying to cause problems for him. So Allah Ta'ala also made all such things haram and impermissible. Don't get anywhere close to this. This is going to destroy dunya also, and worse than that, it will destroy akhirat. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has made farz upon us, wajib upon us, and whatever Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, what he has given us, and likewise on the other side, whatever Allah Ta'ala made haram upon us, whatever he forbade us from, in neither of these things, neither in us fulfilling all the commands of Allah Ta'ala, and nor in refraining from what Allah has made haram, is there any benefit to Allah Ta'ala. Allah is not in need of any of these things. Our obedience to Allah Ta'ala doesn't increase His grandeur one iota. And Allah forbid if the entire humanity disobeys Allah Ta'ala, it won't decrease Allah Ta'ala's grandeur by one iota. Allah is not in need of the entire makhluk's ibadat, and neither is it that the obedience of the entire makhluk will benefit Allah Ta'ala in some way. Allah Ta'ala made things farz and wajib upon us for our benefit. Allah Ta'ala made things haram upon us to save us from the harm. Now a person, despite this being for his benefit, but he neglects the faraiz, neglects the wajibat, or then if he's just doing the faraiz, wajibat, that too sometimes in a haphazard manner, and then sometimes he's just more than content to just finish the farz and feel that I've done Allah Ta'ala a favor, but then the things that will enhance his life in dunya also, and more so bring the comfort of akhirat, all the amal of deen, the nafafil, the mustahabbat, feel that no need for me, I don't need all that. Only in dunya I need all the extras, but for the akhirat I don't need any extras. So obviously that's a major loss. And then whatever Allah Ta'ala has made haram, by refraining from that, we save ourselves from the major harms. Harms in dunya, and worse than that is the harms of the akhirat. So all this is what Allah Ta'ala has made for our benefit. So among all the amal, everything, every amal that we have been taught to do, whether it is farz wajib, that there's no compromise on it, but every other amal as well, whether it's on a mustahab level, whether it is on the level of an adab, an etiquette in deen, everything has great benefit in it for us. And the more we take advantage of that, the more we are the ones going to benefit. And the more we get involved in the things that Allah has forbidden, the things that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us against, the harm will come back to us. Nobody else. Allah Ta'ala doesn't get harmed in any way. Allah Ta'ala doesn't, His treasures don't decrease in any way. Harm, also we suffer the consequences. So among all these amal that we have been taught to do, which will benefit us greatly, one very, very great amal, a very great amal is the amal of dua. So every tasbih a person decides, that too is a great benefit to him. Every ayat of the Quran Sharif he makes tilawat of, and that all these amal, they must be placed in the day for all these things. There must be a ma'mool and a daily practice of tilawat of the Quran Sharif, and this should be minimum one para of the Quran Sharif daily. For non-hufaz, at least quarter para daily, and the more the better. And likewise, there should be time for tasbihat, for zikr. There's so much of time for everything else. Whenever there's a lack of time, it's only somehow for amal. Somehow we're just always too busy for some tasbihat. We're just too busy to complete what tilawat we had set out to do, that we set out to make at least tilawat of half a para, one para. Somehow that just becomes, we become too busy to finish that off. We become too busy to complete the recitation of Durood Sharif upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that we set out a very bare minimum, that at least I'm going to recite 100 times Durood Sharif daily. And that is the very, very bare minimum. That is like the very starting point only. Like a person now just eating enough to just survive. So now a person sets the most minimum target of at least 100 Durood Sharif daily. Somehow we get so busy, we can't even complete that 100 Durood Sharif daily. And then we get so busy, we can't complete any nawafil. Then we get so busy, even the sunnat-e-ghair-muakkada, there's never time for it. And then we get so busy, sometimes the sunnat-e-muakkada is getting neglected as well. And Allah forbid, then sometimes salat-ul-jamaat is neglected. Why? We're too busy. And Allah forbid, sometimes the salah is becoming qaza as well. Allah Ta'ala forgive us and save us. But if we're not busy, then we're not busy because we have time for social media, we have time for so many things. Allah forbid, people have time for an whole hour, 2 hours, 3 hours on the phone and engaging in whatnot, engaging in futile things, engaging in haram. So that busyness, suddenly this all disappeared. There was ample time, hours and hours for all this. So this is what we have to now see, where is our time going in and what is it benefiting us or how much is it harming us? Make hisab kitab of this. So any case, one amal that Allah Ta'ala has given us, which is extremely beneficial for us. All these amal are very necessary, very beneficial. Tilawat of the Quran Sharif, time for tasbihat and zikr, time for muraqabah and meditation, pondering about our own death. When my death will come, what will be my condition at that time? Sit down thinking about it for a few minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, very dedicatedly. This consciousness of death comes alive, then the heart will come alive. And this becomes a barrier between a person and sin, that what if my death comes now? These are things just for ibrat. We should never ever look down upon anybody else and never think good about ourselves. Till that last moment, nobody knows and can make any kind of conclusion for himself or anybody else. Once Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi, there was some, like a jalsa taking place or something. So he was still busy making wudu. He probably had to go out and he was now still making wudu. Now in the wudu khana, he can overhear what is being spoken now in that gathering. So now somebody in the gathering was beginning to praise him. Probably he was going to give some nasihat or whatever it might have been. So now that person started praising him. Now he was sitting in the wudu khana, so he couldn't do anything about it immediately. So any case, when he came, so he came and then eventually when he could say something, so he said one line. And that one line is a very telling line. And something to always inscribe on our hearts to remember our own position. All he said to them, Pyaro, mujhe pehle marne do. Said, Pyaro, mujhe pehle marne do. Wait for me to die first. You want to talk all these long stories? What's the end result? Nobody knows still. How we leave this dunya, nobody knows. After you see me having left in a good manner, Allah knows best what's coming thereafter. But in terms of what goes on in dunya, you see me leaving in a good manner, then you can talk what you want to talk. But first let me go out of this dunya first. Now likewise, we sometimes start having great thoughts about ourselves, thinking very good about ourselves, but we have no idea what's tomorrow. And we haven't even made that real preparation for tomorrow. So now a person who will keep pondering over death, so what I was getting at is, these things are not mentioned for any other reason, just for the sake of ibrat. What we said was, where this digression came from, that our moth could come any time, and we have no idea when it comes, and what preparation have we made for it. Now when a person has become conscious of death, and that is the purpose of this muraqabah of maut, pondering over death, to create the consciousness of death all the time, every now and again. Obviously we are not of that caliber 24/7, we're going to be consciously seeing death in front of our eyes, but every step that something has to be said, something has to be done, then first maut will come in front. Is this the last thing I want to say and go from dunya? Now that thing came to mind, to swear at somebody. That, if the consciousness of death is there, do I want to leave this dunya having said this as the last line? I would feel good about it. Is this a good way to meet Allah Ta'ala? That the last thing came out of this tongue was some vulgarity. I want to do something, I want to look at something. Do I want to meet Allah Ta'ala in this way? What if my mouth comes suddenly? So just as an ibrat, a while ago somebody once had asked wanted to know what's to be done, some advice on the matter. He says, well, they were burying somebody, so this person went in the qabr himself, and in the qabr there were suddenly out of the blue, a lot of insects. So in any case, they thought perhaps just by chance. Then there was a very foul smell in the qabr. Somehow, in any case, they completed what had to be done. Then later on, he says, that somebody a very close person to the mayyid, Allah Ta'ala forgive all, Allah Ta'ala keep us with afiyat as well, Allah Ta'ala save us from things that will harm us at the time of mort. So he says this person was very perturbed one day, and because they were together in the qabr, and both had sent something, they probably, the eyes met at that time, but everybody kept quiet, nobody said anything. So he now called him aside and he said, look, this is very heavy on my heart, but I wanted to say it to somebody, I wanted to lighten my heart. So what happened? He says, well, actually this person passed away in an accident, and I was there at the scene, and he had been flung out of the car. So he was lying on the side of the road. So when I went to pick him up, he was face down. So his face had turned completely disfigured. Not because of any injury. The injury was not something that disfigured him. Completely in a different... And he says the only thing was that very evident was at that time, because when the car, whatever happened, that door flung open, that door was still wide open. And the only thing that was blaring from that car at that time was music. Allah knows best. Apparently this is how the last moments came, listening to that music. Allah Ta'ala make maghfirat, Allah Ta'ala grant His special forgiveness to one and all. This is not something, as I said, not to look down upon anybody and never to think good about ourselves, but ibrat. That when these things, these temptations come, to fall asleep looking at some filth, to be listening to some evil, to be going to sleep pressing haram buttons. Think about maut. So this muraqabah of maut, this is an extremely important amal to create the consciousness of death. Thinking about our last moments in life, what will happen when the last moment suddenly comes? Out of the blue, suddenly my body has gone limp. Suddenly my hand just gets limp. That phone fell out, and it fell out in a way it's still running, but whatever was on the screen is still there. But I can't do anything anymore. Can't even say anything. Can feel the life ebbing out. And now people have suddenly come in, and they're all observing what's going on around here too. And then the life has finally gone. And imagine ghusl being given to myself. And thereafter I'm being carried on the shoulders of people, the janazah salah, being lowered into the grave. And then that dark grave, I can hear the sand being put onto those planks, falling hard onto those planks, and then it's all silent from above, but it's a dark grave under me. Now what's going to be the comfort of that time? What's going to bring that light in the grave? It's all the amal, the righteous deeds. And what's going to cause torment in that grave? That's the sins, that's the haram, that's all the evils. So now this, when this will become very conscious in our hearts and minds, Shaitan's full-time job is to keep putting that waswasa, to keep whispering some evil. But when this has become very strongly in the mind, due to the daily muraqabah, daily meditation, then inshallah, at that time when Shaitan starts whispering all his evil, this will come in the way, and this will become a big barrier between a person and sin. I don't want to leave dunya in this kind of situation. I don't want to meet Allah Ta'ala in a manner that I just committed haram. So in any case, this came in, that this too is an important amal. But what we had been talking about, what we started talking about, was a very, very great and important amal, is the amal of dua. Allah Ta'ala has given us dua. And dua, in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that this is silahul mu'min. Dua is the weapon of the believer. Dua is mukhul ibadah. It is the essence of ibadat. All ibadat Everything has its maqam, has its position. Every ibadat is very great. But then you get the essence of it. Essence of ibadat is dua. In one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-du'a'u huwal ibadah. Dua itself is ibadat. One is our condition. Generally, it will be just some casual dua. And we'll make dua when we have a very serious need. Then we'll make some serious dua. And that too, it will be a very limited dua. But why? Because I have some need. Whether that need is some health issue, whether it's some financial matter, whether it is some household issue, whatever it might be, some difficulty that has come upon me or come upon somebody very close to me, now I'll make some serious dua. And then maybe little bit longer than the casual dua. And other than that, well, everything is fine, so what's the need to make dua? So we make dua because we have a need. And the pious servants of Allah Ta'ala, they have a need to make dua. Like how we have a need to eat, we have a need to drink, we have a need to sleep, we have a need to just, we say, no, we need to relax a little bit. Everybody says they need some me time nowadays. They need me time. What me time means, suddenly now Allah knows best where this came from. So all the time it was our time, family time. We heard about family time. Says, no, everybody in the family all say that they need me time also now. So everybody has gone into their own shell, into their own world. And then that me time meaning me and my phone. That's me time. So that too is more than one. It's no more me alone, but not you. You can't be in part of this me time. You, insan, whatever, the spouse, the children, others, you're not part of me time. Me time is two people, but me and the rest of the world through the phone. But so this became all shaitan's very fancy, all kinds of slogans and all kinds of new words, and just to mesmerize us, to make us feel, no, this is all justified, it's all very good, whereas it's all a trap of shaitan. So in any case, what we are talking about is that just as we have a need for all these things, we have a need to eat, to drink, to sleep, and then we say we have a need to just relax, and a need to unwind, and a need to do all these things. Those who are truly connected to Allah Ta'ala, they have a need to talk to Allah Ta'ala. Just as we don't get peace if we haven't eaten, we won't get that sleep at night if we haven't had a good meal. We're hungry, we can't go to sleep. And if we haven't felt that little bit time now, to, as we call it, unwinding time, then we can't function properly. But those who are connected to Allah Ta'ala, they can't function properly if they haven't spoken to Allah Ta'ala. They haven't connected themselves again for that day in dua. Their dua is not for needs only, their dua itself is a need. This is the vast difference between us and them. So if we don't seem to have a need, whereas we're full of needs, insan is, he is completely full of needs, every bit of his existence is totally in need. But yet we feel, because now Allah Ta'ala's favor, Allah Ta'ala's fazal, karam, ihsan, at that given point in time, a person doesn't have any financial issue, where he is now in some hard-pressed situation, health-wise he's fine, he's not in any pain, his family members, household are all okay, and everything seems to be going well, so I'm fine, I got no problem. So I got no problems, what am I going to make dua for? And that is the biggest misconception. In the hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ta'arraf ila Allahi fir raha, ya'arifka fi shidda. You connect yourself to Allah Ta'ala in good times. And that good times too came from Allah Ta'ala. That good times also is not anybody's achievement, or anybody's doing. That good time also came from Allah Ta'ala. But you connect yourself to Allah Ta'ala in good times. Connect him to yourself how? Ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Not because it's good times, I think now I can do as I please. Now suddenly I can go where I want to, and I can just conduct myself as I wish, because it's good times. So why should I worry? No, those good times are also Allah's ni'mat. So now connect oneself with ibadat, and especially in good times with dua. يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ then you will be recognized in your difficulties. Allah knows everybody all the time, but there's Allah Ta'ala's system. The angels, when they hear somebody's voice all the time, in good times also, now when suddenly his voice is being heard in difficulties, say, this is a familiar voice, take this dua up. This is a familiar voice, take this dua up. So the person who's connecting himself to Allah Ta'ala in his good times, he also has his challenges in dunya. Some issues come up. Allah Ta'ala will then take care of his needs at the time of his difficulty. So dua is not just something for the time of need. Dua is our need. Dua itself is our need. And there should be no day that passes that a person hasn't spoken to Allah Ta'ala in dua. Dua is asking Allah Ta'ala, begging Allah Ta'ala. And in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says that Ud'uni astajib lakum, call unto me, I will answer your call, I will answer your dua. Then Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Now primarily in this ayat it's referring to dua. Allah Ta'ala refers to this as ibadat. That those who are too proud to call unto me, then they will enter Jahannam in a disgraceful manner. So it's like pride now that a person feels, what I need Allah Ta'ala for, na'uzu billah. Why do I have to ask him? I'm sorted out. Everybody is coming to me to solve the issues. Everybody is asking me for solutions. They're coming to me for a loan. And all these, I'm busy sorting out other people's problems. What I must ask Allah Ta'ala for? But that is the biggest harm that we can do to ourselves, where we feel we have become independent of Allah Ta'ala. We are totally from head to toe in need. Insan, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. We are all extremely weak and totally in need of Allah Ta'ala every breath of our time. So dua is something to be engaged daily. And not just in passing casually, but in a very dedicated manner. Deeply from the heart, asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. One is some dedicated time daily. Dedicated time to beg from Allah Ta'ala. Beg for dunya and akhirat. Beg for dunya also. Allah Ta'ala has taught us this in the Quran Sharif. One of the most comprehensive du'as. A comprehensive du'a which has been described as encompassing everything of dunya and akhirat. And a very simple du'a. But unfortunately we make it also when we do make it without realizing what we are asking. And though we know what we are asking, but our mind is not there, our heart is not there. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. There's nothing of the good of dunya or akhirat that has been left out of this. Every good of dunya and akhirat is encompassed in these very, very short lines. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا. Allah grant us hasana, goodness in this life. The Mufassirin have explained, what is this goodness all about? So now a person in this life, he wants peace and serenity. That is part of the goodness. A person in this life, he wants rizq, halal, tayyib, rizq. That is part of this good life he is asking for. He wants good health. That is part of this hasana. In this, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا, the Mufassirin explain that a pious spouse, so a person now is, many a person is asking for dua, please I want to get married, make dua. That is also in this. Asking Allah Ta'ala for a pious spouse. Person wants all this, whatever we can think about the goodness of dunya, all this goodness of dunya is included in رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا. And وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. Ya Allah, the azab of qabr, save me from that. That is part of the hasana of akhirat, that a person's qabr becomes a garden of Jannah. Part of the hasana of akhirat, that his hisab kitab is made easy for him. Part of the hasana of akhirat, he gains the shafa'at and the intercession of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Part of that hasana of akhirat is that he enters Jannat without any difficulty. Part of that hasana of the akhirat, which the Mufassirin have explained, is to be blessed with seeing Allah Ta'ala in Jannat. Subhanallah, all this he's asking in رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Ya Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Now what a comprehensive dua. nothing of the good of dunya is left out, and nothing of the good of akhirat is left out. So now, and this dua is one of those duas Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make after salah. After salah, there were certain duas that were made daily, all the time. Like the dua Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an, and that too, he gave it to him in such a wonderful manner. He said to him first, Inni la uhibbuka ya Muaz. Oh Muaz, I love you. And then he gave him this dua. Now, can we imagine with what zeal Hazrat Muaz would have accepted this dua? And he said, don't ever leave out making this dua after any salah. La tada'anna an taqula fi duburi kulli salatin. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik wa shukrik wa husni ibadatik. Ya Allah, help me. Help me to remember you. Ya Allah, you help me to become one who is engrossed in your remembrance. Now, when a person becomes engrossed in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, what's going to be the outcome of that? He'll become somebody who will be totally obedient to Allah Ta'ala. So outwardly it sounds like just to be able to make some zikr verbally. No. It's total obedience of Allah Ta'ala that is included in it. Because the person who's totally obedient to Allah Ta'ala, he's the person who's completely engrossed in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. So Ya Allah, you help me, grant me the assistance that I need to become completely engrossed in your zikr. And when the zikr of Allah overwhelms a person, then ghaflat goes. And a person now is cleared of that ghaflat, and he is now, his heart is filled with Allah's remembrance, the last thing you'll ever hear from such a person is, I'm bored. Such a person and boredom, these are worlds apart. It's like trying to say, East and West can combine in one place somewhere in the middle of the earth. That's how impossible it is that a person whose heart is filled with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, that he can become bored. When a person is sitting with his friends, somebody who he is very close to, somebody who he feels very comfortable with, somebody he really enjoys being in that person's presence and company. So now after 1 hour they sat and they've been talking whatever and so on. After 1 hour the person says, now I got to leave. Say, what's the rush now? Just sit down now. Still it's hardly, we hardly spoke anything still. Still quite early. After another 1 hour he's saying, now I need to leave now. He says, but don't worry about it now. You're still going to catch it in any way. It's already quite late. You might as well catch it, make it worth the while. Go later now one time and catch it one time. Now he just doesn't, he can't feel having had enough of this conversation, of this company. Why? Because there is this close friendship, this bond, this relationship. So now in that 1 hour, 2 hours, sometimes people say the whole night went away. And Allah forbid, the whole night went away, they fell asleep before Fajr and made Fajr Qaza. So now the whole night went away. He says, but how come you didn't realize the whole night went away? He says, no, we're just so occupied in that conversation, discussion, and the whole night went away. Whereas the night of a mu'min, a good part of that night is supposed to be for Allah Ta'ala, in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat. But in any case now, this person says, how come that? He says, just that company was so great. That conversation, that enjoyment of that whole night passed, you didn't realize it. So now you ask him, but in that whole time you didn't get bored, you were just going on. He says, boredom, what boredom are you talking about? Now he can become so attached to insan that hours can go past, the whole night can go, and he's not bored of that company, he's not bored of that gathering, of that conversation, that idle talk. When a person has connected himself to Allah Ta'ala, his heart is brimming with Allah Ta'ala's zikr, then what boredom can come to him? Because he's connected to that being who gives the contentment to the heart. He's connected to the giver of peace and serenity. He's connected to the Khaliq and the creator of the universe. That being who puts the sweetness into sugar. And that being who has made that honey sweet, can't he make that person's heart sweet? Who remembers him and is engrossed in his remembrance and obedience, that Allah who's made honey sweet, that Allah grants his heart sweetness without honey. That Allah who made that sugar sweet, that Allah makes his heart sweet without the sugar. So now this, there's no such thing as boredom thereafter. So now this is the time when a person has connected himself to Allah Ta'ala. If you look at the Ahlullah, the pious people, they could spend hours making dua. So the same example fits with that. We can talk to people for hours and don't get tired. So how come a person can make dua for so long? After 5 minutes, we're already tired. 10 minutes, it's too much. And 15 minutes is out of the question. This person is going on. Hazrat Haji Bhai Padia Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi Marhum, many present would have seen him on many occasions perhaps and witnessed his dua, which is to go on for sometimes well over an hour. Well over an hour, one dua, non-stop, and probably that to stop because now he had to stop. So how can they make dua for so long? Like how we can talk for so long? Because we have that enjoyment of that company. But if we had connected ourselves to Allah Ta'ala, like how they connected themselves, then we'll be waiting now, when I can get out of this now, so I can talk to who I love most. And that dua will be then a pleasure. But that dua is what then brings down the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. That dua is what brings down what we ask for, what our needs are. We have to learn to connect to Allah Ta'ala. He is the giver of everything. He is the one who removes the difficulties. But we are engrossed in so many other things. We don't have time for dua. We don't have time to do that which is going to bring us the best benefit. So dua, the time has already passed. This is what we need to now make time, make an effort on begging Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Also being conscious of the adab of dua. This is what's going to enhance that dua. Among the adab of dua, very quickly in a minute or two, the commencing the dua with the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and durud sharif upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then acknowledgement of one's sins and one's weaknesses, and then begging Allah ta'ala, starting off with asking for the ni'mat of akhirat and for iman and the dini ni'mat. Then whatever our dunya needs are as well, you may ask for dunya needs as well. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised that if you need shoelace, something so insignificant, that to ask Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the giver of everything. Ask Allah Ta'ala. He'll make it happen for you. Though the system normally is that it'll happen via means, normally, generally. But the being that makes it happen via means is Allah Ta'ala. It's not the means. Allah Ta'ala makes it that the means become available to a person, that means become a means of his whatever ease and removing the difficulty. But why did that happen? Because Allah Ta'ala made it happen. And never to tire from dua. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu says, I don't take upon myself the concern of acceptance. I take upon myself the concern of asking. Accepting is not my department. So why should I get involved in something that's not my department? My department is to keep asking. That's Allah Ta'ala's department. To grant, and how to grant it, what is the mode of acceptance? Because the mode of acceptance can be that what has been asked for, exactly that will be granted. Or in place of that, something else will be granted. Or in place of that, some difficulty will be averted. And if not, then the reward of that will be saved for the person in akhirat. And when he will come to the hereafter and he will see what has been stored for him in lieu of the du'as that he made in dunya, he will wish on that day that not a single du'a was granted on earth. Everything was stored for me in the akhirat. But we should ask Allah Ta'ala, and one of the things mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, the most important thing to ask Allah Ta'ala is afiyat. Safety, afiyat, afiyat in deen, afiyat in dunya. Allahumma inna nasaluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afat al-da'imah fi deeni wa dunya wal-akhirah. Afiyat in every aspect. These are the things we have to make dua. Dua is an ibadat. It connects one to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's not confined, though that's the best thing to do. Dua in the very formal manner, facing the qibla, raising the hands, and all the other adab of dua that go along with it. But even walking, a person will leave the masjid now, he's going home. But in that time, even just a short time to a little bit of that time, he can first talk to Allah ta'ala. Allah, I'm going home. Make everything at home very suitable and comfortable for me. Make it a place of sukoon and afiyat for me. Ya Allah, you grant afiyat to all those at home as well. He's going to work. On his way to work, he can be talking to Allah Ta'ala. Many a times a person is tossing and turning, can't fall asleep. But what a wonderful thing to then occupy that time with dua. Now people just toss and turn, looking at the clock, and now counting minutes, and some say now to try to fall asleep, they're counting sheep. But after counting all the sheep, they still didn't get one. So what they got out of counting sheep? But if he made some dua that's directly talking to Allah Ta'ala from the heart, while lying down, person is trying to fall asleep, so while the sleep is still not yet coming, how excellent to occupy the time in dua. And if that becomes the last thing that a person ends up doing and he falls asleep in that manner, talking to Allah Ta'ala, and if his mouth comes in that condition, subhanallah. Because everybody doesn't have that opportunity that in that last moment he'll be that conscious that he'll perhaps raise his hands also and make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Now a person is falling asleep, who knows whether he'll wake up the next morning. So rather than falling asleep, Allah forbid, in haram, or in something idle, what a wonderful way to fall asleep, just talking to Allah Ta'ala from the heart. Allah, I'm going to sleep now. Allah, you make the sleep a means of great rest, such rest that becomes a means of refreshing this body, that I can then once again wake up for your ibadat, I can then perform salah, I can help others, I can take care of my tasks and needs. Ya Allah, you assist me at every step. He is now talking to Allah Ta'ala and falling asleep, making dua for his dunya, dua for his akhirat. What a wonderful way to sleep. So this is a very great ibadat. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us a tawfiq that we become very conscious of dua, we apply ourselves in dua. There are various kitabs on duas, we should try and learn them. Take the kitab, read from it. Very simple compilations, Munajat-e-Maqbool, Hizbul Azam, something that small also, some time dedicated to dua. This is a very great ibadat, very great amal. This connects one to Allah Ta'ala. And when one makes this a daily thing, then in the time of need, when one sincerely asks, Allah Ta'ala grants his need. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Zikr for a few minutes and dua.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah, Allahu jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu. Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على سيدنا محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هم إلا فرجته ولا هم إلا فرجته ولا هم إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام
Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Hannan, Ya Mannan, Ya Hannan, Ya Mannan, Ya Hannan, Ya Mannan, bi rahmatika nastaghith, bi rahmatika nastaghith, bi rahmatika nastaghith, aslih lana sha'nana kullah, wa la takilna ila anfusina tarfata 'ayn, wa la tanzi' minna saliha ma a'taytana. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Allah, out of your grace and mercy, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, shower your maghfirat on the ummah, Ya Allah. Shower your rahmat on the ummah, Ya Allah. Allah, remove the pain and suffering of the ummah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove the hardships from the ummah, Ya Allah. Allah, we acknowledge all this, whatever difficulties are there is due to our sins, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah, Ya Allah. Give us and the entire ummah the tawfiq of those amal that bring down your rahmat, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from those actions that bring down azab, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, uplift the difficulties and hardships of the ummah, Ya Allah. Allah, in particular, our brothers and sisters in Palestine, Ya Allah. Allah, out of your grace and mercy, Ya Allah. Allah, you remove their hardship and difficulty, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat to them, Ya Allah. Allah, grant afiyat to them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, grant afiyat in their deen, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat in their dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove the oppression from them, Ya Allah. Allah, remove the oppression from them, Ya Allah. Allah, hold back the hands of the oppressors, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the oppressors from their land, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, give the oppressors hidayat, Ya Allah. Allah, if hidayat is not decreed for them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, bring up, Ya Allah, such a punishment on them, Ya Allah. And humanity till Qiyamah takes a lesson, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, you protect the ummah, Ya Allah. Allah, you protect the ummah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us a tawfiq of doing all that which pleases you, Ya Allah. Save us from everything that displeases you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all the sins and vices, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all the things that are bringing all the despair and the despondency in our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all those actions that are bringing all the disasters in our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that are making us feel so miserable, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, it's only the sins, Ya Allah, that have made us so miserable, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill our hearts with your remembrance, Ya Allah. Fill our lives with your remembrance, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you have promised itminan through your remembrance, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the itminan through your remembrance, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, make us your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Make us your obedient servants, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from all the fitna and fasad, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect us, Ya Allah. Protect our families, Ya Allah. Protect our progenies till Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, from all the fitna of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. The fitna of the West, Ya Allah. The fitna of immorality, Ya Allah. The fitna of shamelessness, Ya Allah. The fitna of all the sins and vices, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you protect us and guide us, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, keep us steadfast on Iman and Islam till our last breath, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, take us on perfect Iman, Ya Allah. Raise us on the day of Qiyamah with perfect Iman, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima. Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever difficulties and hardships anybody is suffering, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat to one and all in deen, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat to one and all in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, we are extremely weak, Ya Allah. Without your help, we cannot take one step forward, Ya Allah. We cannot survive, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect us, Ya Allah. You safeguard our deen, Ya Allah. Safeguard our dunya, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, safeguard the deen and dunya of every Muslim, Ya Allah. Allahumma kulla khairin likulli muslimin wa muslima. Allahumma kulla khairin likulli muslimin wa muslima. Allahumma kulla khairin likulli muslimin wa muslima. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who have raised their hands to this dua, all who asked us to make dua for them, Ya Allah, you grant each one's jaiz needs, Ya Allah. Fulfill each one's pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Fill each one's heart with sukoon and itminan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill it with your remembrance, Ya Allah. Fill it with your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill it with your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are most in need of your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us your mahabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your love, Ya Allah. free us with all that, from all the attachments, from the heart being attached to all the dunya, ya Allah. Attach our hearts to you, ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, ya Allah. And all that we have asked for, ya Allah, grant us out of your grace and mercy, ya Allah. What we should have been asking for, grant us that as well without asking, ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri musta'azaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين.